This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, it's a good old-fashioned Survivor Series preview. Is this the most compelling WWE show of the year? So Jake, yesterday I confessed that I'm more excited for Survivor Series. I wrote this week, I'm more excited for Survivor Series than I've been almost any show in the last like year or two. And Jake, I've got to be honest. I was a person when the rumor came out a couple years ago that they were shelving Survivor Series. I was thinking, thank God they're shelving Survivor Series. This is the dumbest thing ever. Man, am I eating my words this week.
I don't think you're wrong in concept, though. Like, this show is special for a number of reasons. I think they've went way out of their way to load up this lineup with star power. I mean, just the changes to some of the bigger matches in the last couple of weeks have felt like a massive shift in momentum for this show, not only with Kurt Angle and Triple H and John Cena being added to the big 5-on-5, but you had AJ Styles replace Jinder Mahal in the major singles match on this show, and you also had Charlotte step in for Natty in the women's kind of grudge match between the two brands, and I think that instantly improved what I was expecting from the quality of that match as well. So there have just been a lot of big changes to this show that have resulted in some, I guess, earned excitement at this point.
And it feels like this show finally woke up what has been the sleepy SmackDown booking to go, oh wait, we're going to put the people who matter in spots that matter now. Like Road Dogg finally had to look at the people he was pushing versus the people Raw was pushing and go like, wait, I've had Charlotte on the roster? Charlotte Flair. Yeah, let's get that belt on her. Let's go. AJ, what? Whoa, you're telling me I did what with AJ Styles? All right, nah, they don't want none again.
Do you blame Road Dogg for that, though?
I blame Road Dogg for everything that bad that happens to me.
I really feel like, Mahal was a...
It feels like a Vince project.
Yeah, but at the same time, Natty being champion for as long as she was absolutely driven by Total Divas. So it's almost like, oh, well, I guess we have to do these two things for 3 or 4 months to get all this filming done or to get promotion for India done, which failed anyway. And then they quickly, backtracked away from Mahal as fast as they possibly could. So I guess I don't know if I blame Road Dogg necessarily, but I think they placed a lot of
everything.
They placed a lot of restrictions on him that that made the show worse, and that's unfortunate. But yes, blame Road Dogg. Like, much like South Park blames Canada.
Yeah, no, it's all Road Dogg's fault. I'm going to Canada next week. Anyways, let's get into the show. I think there are some matches we can breeze through, even though most of the matches on Survivor Series are interesting to me. Enzo Amore, Kalisto on the pre-show. Jake, I'm really happy 90 Minute Raw stopped showing me cruiserweight segments again.
Yeah, 205 Live is still a mess.
It's bad. It's bad at things. It's the Road Dogg of like TV shows.
I just haven't been excited about this Enzo Amore title run as much as I think it raised the profile of 205 Live when it first happened and they actually got put in some important segments on Raw. Like, how are you going to have the guy who sucks in the ring be the champion of the work rate show? It's just I don't really understand the motivation other than just initially putting some eyes on the product. And I can't even say that that's been all that successful. I mean, they haven't really been promoting, the increase in 205 Live's viewership recently. So I have to imagine it fell off.
Yeah, it has to have fallen off. They are it just seems like they don't care again. And I will not get upset about that.
But Kalisto had a birthday party. I mean, I guess it's not to say that there aren't some people on 205 Live that I really enjoy. I mean,
there are so many good wrestlers on that show. It's
Cedric. Yeah. I just wish they'd stop sacrificing good talent to that show that they care so little about. I mean, there's, you know, it seems like, well, we've spent over a year now sort of diminishing the presence of this talent, these talents on our show. So let's just keep adding more talent and see if that fixes the problem. I don't think they have quite, you know, settled out what exactly is wrong with that show. They just keep throwing new stars at it and hopefully thinking that it turns the thing around.
Yeah, so I think Enzo wins. I don't care anyways. Let's go. So The Miz versus Baron Corbin, it's the heel versus heel matchup on this show. And a month ago, it looked like we were going to have almost all heel versus heel matchups. I kind of want to see The Miz win this just because The Miz is so damn good. And I don't know that having Corbin go over him is worth The Miz taking a loss when The Miz can do so much on Raw right now.
Well, The Miz Taraj is going to be there, so why just not have The Miz cheat to win? I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
Seems logical to me as well. The Usos taking on Cesaro and Sheamus, and the Usos are babyfaces now. I kind of feel like you get Cesaro and Sheamus trying to cheat, failing, and the Usos getting the win here, putting us at a tie, essentially, on our Raw and SmackDown count, because I do think we go to the end of the night tied, or if that's possible.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I hadn't been thinking about the show in the context of, well, they probably want to make things even, Steven, between Raw and SmackDown heading into the big main event between the 5-on-5 teams. But I'm actually kind of interested to see, you know, what direction they go in with this one. I like both teams, and I think they're both at a point where they've been really good lately. And so I'd be surprised if there was a clean win, but I think maybe you're right that the Usos may win this one just because SmackDown's going to need to get a win somewhere here.
And looking at it, it looks like it is 8 interbrand matchups. So we're going to see it be up. I think almost a perfect 4-4 tie at the end of the night if WWE does things semi-interestingly. But let's talk about kind of the first of the Survivor Series elimination matches right now. The women's one. It's Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Asuka, Sasha Banks, and Bayley against Becky Lynch, Carmella, Naomi, Tamina, and a mystery opponent. First, Jake, who's the mystery opponent?
I'm leaning on Paige.
Same.
I think she's going to come back and feud with Charlotte. And I don't know, you know, what direction she'll take immediately in this match, because she'll be the returning star and likely be the babyface for the night. But I don't know if that'll last very long. But we'll see what direction they take on the show. It's very possible that Charlotte could be, you know, brewing a heel turn, which would be a good thing for her at this point, because she's just struggled as babyface for the most part, unless she's getting emotional about her dad. So I'm really curious about this one. You know, with Asuka on the Raw team, I almost want to say that they just give Raw the win, but it's also Paige's return night, so it's a difficult thing to kind of figure out which way they go.
Yeah, I kind of lean SmackDown because it is Paige's return night. I think they could give the SmackDown team this one and give the Raw team the men's match and have them split their matches that way. But I agree with you on Paige. I agree with you on probably how the match goes, and I think you get some interesting stuff on SmackDown in the future. I'm not so sure of a Charlotte heel turn, though. And let's talk, while we're talking about the women's divisions, Charlotte and Alexa Bliss. I kind of think Alexa cheats to win this one, and I'm kind of at like 40% on a Carmella cash in here.
That's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought about Carmella getting involved in this match, simply because titles weren't on the line, but that doesn't mean they couldn't be with the briefcase involved. But I don't know. I mean, do you anticipate interference prior to that point? Like, is somebody going to assist Alexa in getting the win, or will it just be Carmella, maybe with a briefcase shot or something?
I think it's very possible that it's Carmella helping. I think with it being Alexa, you also can't write out Nia Jax coming out and it kind of becoming a bit of a brawl at ringside that then sees Carmella being able to sneak in and get the title. as much as I love the title being on Charlotte, and I say I'm at 40% because I think they could wait another couple weeks and still bask in the afterglow of a Charlotte title win. I think moving the title to Charlotte is a great excuse to move the title to Carmella for a little while and see what she's got. She doesn't have James Ellsworth kind of holding her down now, and Ellsworth did do some really good work on the SmackDown brand, but I do think his time had kind of run out in a way. But you've got him out of the way, and you have Carmella, who has fully formed a lot more as a character since winning Money in the Bank.
I see your argument. I don't know if it's likely to happen, simply because I think she has all the way until whatever next year's Money in the Bank show.
Yeah, it'd be like June or July of next year.
And they may want to time that with Total Divas. So I guess I wouldn't be shocked if your prediction came true, but at the same time, I think there's reason to doubt that it would. But I'm open to the idea of it.
There's reason to doubt most things I say. Just FYI, that's pretty regular. Doubting me is completely all right and honestly encouraged.
Well, I guess I can see your argument. That's why I'm like, well, I'm kind of hemming and hawing here. But I think at the end of the day, whatever happens, the result of this will be Alexa Bliss probably getting the win for the Raw women.
This is Survivor Series weekend, and it is a great weekend to be a ProWrestling.net member. On top of the normal awesome coverage you get on ProWrestling.net, ProWrestling.net members will get exclusive audio reviews of both NXT TakeOver War Games and the full Survivor Series show. If you want access to those, plus ad-free access to the site and more, check out ProWrestling.net membership for as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or if you just want to try it out for this month, maybe a little holiday treatsy, check it out at $7.50 a month. ProWrestling.net, click on the membership link. You won't be disappointed. And now we're on to kind of the big three matches of this show. And I would add big four and say that Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte match feels pretty big as well. But these big three, let's start with what I think of as kind of the two dream matches on this card. Like, they're big. I really didn't think we'd ever see them, and I'm really excited about both of them. The Shield, Ambrose, Reigns, and Rollins against The New Day, Big E, Kofi Kingston, and Xavier Woods. Jake, I think this might be the match I'm looking forward to the most all weekend.
Really? I'm curious as to, so do you just are imagining some really good chemistry between these two teams in the ring, or
yeah,
is there something specific that you're looking forward to?
I think chemistry wise, it's going to be fun. I think the New Day will go out there looking to have one of those big six man tags that the Shield was known for. And it's kind of us getting the Shield back on pay-per-view with competent opponents that are really exciting to watch, where the result is kind of unknown. And I just think it's going to be a lot of chaotic fun, and it, like, the addition of this match to the show is kind of what put it over the top for me to make this like, all right, now this is a show I'm truly, truly excited about, like looking forward to at like a 10 out of 10 level. So maybe I'm alone there. Maybe some listeners are like, you gosh dang Mark yelling at me right now, but I'm pretty into it.
Well, I don't think the outcome is really in question. I think the Shield win because there's more plans for them on the Raw side, and New Day really isn't involved in anything particularly important on SmackDown at the moment, aside from a feud with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I do wonder if those two will end up getting involved here, though, just seeing as they're not busy for the rest of the show, and whether they'll get involved here or the main event. I'm curious as to how that whole thing happens, but I'm looking forward to the match. I think the, you know, these two teams, I mean, well, the Shield are known, I mean, just looking back at the last 5 or 6 years, just the crazy amount of great six-man matches they've had. And also, you know, the New Day is, you know, they're no schlubs either. I mean, they've had a great feud with with the Usos that went going back months, where they just turned out great match after great match, you know, and really underappreciated until, you know, they got to Hell in a Cell and they had the big blow off. So I'm looking forward to this one just to see what they come up with, because I think these two teams are really innovative and I think they'll bring something really special to the table.
Yeah, and I guess that's where I get to the point of, this is one of the things I'm looking forward to the most of anything on this show. And I do agree with you that the outcome's not super in doubt. It will likely be a Shield win. So Brock Lesnar and AJ Styles, is this the same thing? Is the outcome not really in doubt? Just a good match and Brock wins, bad match and Brock wins, which actually has been the Brock Lesnar formula for a couple pay-per-views?
I do think it's a good match and Brock wins. How they get there, I think, is still up in the air. I would hope that they just allow them to have a good long match, allow AJ to get some close near falls and let Brock sneak out a victory. You know, as long as they're able to make AJ look strong in defeat, it's a huge win for him. I don't think there's really any shame in anyone losing to Brock Lesnar. In terms of WWE's booking patterns. I don't think they're going to let Lesnar lose a match until he drops the title. So that's just the way it is. AJ just happens to be in a position to have a great match and show everybody that he's capable of pulling a wonderful match out of Brock Lesnar, which seems to be difficult to do these days, unfortunately.
Yeah, Braun Strowman, who I think is capable of being entertaining with anyone, including a trash can, has not been able to get a good match out of Brock Lesnar. So, you know, it's AJ is on another level. He is promoted by WWE and kind of legitimately the best wrestler in the world. So he should be able to get it done here and should be really, really great at doing it. And I do think he loses to an F5. If the recent matches are any trend, he's going to lose to probably one F5, but it honestly wouldn't shock me to see them take two, just because AJ is the WWE champion and they want AJ to seem important for the future. That is important for that SmackDown brand.
I almost think you're going to see AJ find ways to not take the F5. Like, it's going to be, you know, Brock Lesnar is, you know, infuriated by the fact that he can't seem to hit the move until it's over, because honestly, I think I talked to Jason about this, you know, a few months ago. Like, they don't want anybody to kick out of that move until Roman Reigns does at WrestleMania.
And they want it to seem surprising when Roman Reigns has done that. I'm out.
I know it's been done before and it's lame, but I think Vince is so stuck on it that it's just bound to happen.
It's a slow march towards sadness. WrestleMania.
Yeah. And they'll have jazz music playing over it this year in New Orleans.
Ooh, I do love jazz. So, yeah, Brock and AJ, I think, will be fun. It is the other dream match on the show, the one that didn't look like, that looked for a long time like it may never happen. And this brings me to one thing I want to talk about on this show. It's not necessarily that red versus blue is suddenly the hottest feud in WWE. It's not that that's more exciting. It's not that Raw and SmackDown, them having a feud matters. It's that WWE on this show put compelling characters in compelling positions where people want to see who wins and loses, where people genuinely care. And that is so different than Jinder Mahal. Like, the upgrade that happened to that entire universe when Jinder Mahal was no longer one of two primary characters, oh man, it's massive, it's huge, and it's really telling just how Jinder not being on this show improves this show overall. I'm not trying to kind of back the bus over him over and over and over, but it's got to be said, he really sucked. Character-wise, and to watch, he wasn't fun. You didn't look forward to his matches. His promos were always the same. There was nothing entertaining about him.
Well, like, I mean, just from a business perspective, think about it this way. The premise of his entire character was that Americans did not like him because of his Indian heritage, and that he didn't get, you know, the same kind of reactions in the U.S. that he does back home. And then they sent him over to India, and he couldn't even move ticket sales there. Like, it basically drove a truck right through the entire premise of his character. He's not even popular in India. So what are you going to do now?
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, and it does. It is kind of funny that they combined those two India shows just after taking the title off of them. It's like they went, well, that didn't work. All right, let's get AJ in there. We're done here. Wrap it up, everyone.
Had that big media tour of India where I think he spent several days, promoting those shows. And I think they must have, looked at ticket sales not improving after he went over there and did all that and just decided, well, I think, we got to pull the cord here. Survivor Series is more important than continuing to sacrifice the business to try to make, their international expansion a success.
Well, it's almost like playing off of the casual racism your audience may or may not feel may not be the best business strategy for WWE.
There's a good point, too.
Yeah. Or a life strategy. Like, let's just not encourage racism generally. It's bad. So let's get to the main event of what I assume will be the main event of this show. The 5-on-5 Team Raw, Team SmackDown Men's Survivor Series match. Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Triple H. Triple H, I think, will just sit there with Balor and Joe and be like, these are my kids. I love them. Against Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and John Cena. I also can't wait for the Triple H and Bobby Roode showdown when I get confused as to who is who when they just start trying to simultaneously spine buster each other.
Do you think that anybody in the crowd will they be able to suppress the laughter when they both get in the ring and it's very clearly they're moving at the same speed and they have the same body type and they basically do the same moves. It's kind of funny.
You know how John Oliver thinks that the Olsen twins are actually one person moving very quickly from side to side to confuse us all?
Like the Flash, he can just make himself appear in multiple places at once.
Yeah, I think that might be Triple H and Bobby Roode, to be completely honest with you. They could be the exact same person.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if they have a face-off moment and anybody chuckles at it. But there's actually quite a few matchups in here that will be a lot of fun to see.
This is going to be so interesting. Like, the face-offs you're going to get, first knowing Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon are going to start the match, I'm already like, 5 stars. This is the greatest match to ever happen.
Refs start rolling out like sheets of plate glass so that Shane can go through them at some point.
Kurt just starts chucking Shane's body around like, yeah, this feels right. I'm about that. We're probably going to get Kurt Angle in full Kurt Angle regalia as well. And I'm absolutely here for that because I was sad we didn't get it at TLC. But you look at the matchups that you get with all of these wrestlers and you get some throwbacks with like Angle and Cena in the ring with each other, Angle and Orton in the ring with each other. And then you get kind of weird stuff. I mean, a solid TNA throwback with Angle and Roode, but you get weird stuff with like Angle and Nakamura. And then you add in just Strowman with that entire team and Balor, Joe. It's going to be a really cool match to see who ends up in the ring together, who has extended exchanges. And I think with this match, we may see a couple WrestleMania previews as well. I think we're going to get a little bit of that testing of the crowd we know they like to do to see what matchups people want to see for WrestleMania and beyond.
Yeah, that's definitely got to be on people's radar. I'm also interested to see, if they can make Shinsuke Nakamura in particular feel like a big deal again, because this is a great opportunity to do some rehabilitation on the Shinsuke front. He has sort of struggled to stand out on SmackDown, and then they kind of put him behind the bus when it came to putting over Jinder Mahal a couple of times. I think somebody put on Twitter that if you include house shows, he's like 20-0-26 against Jinder Mahal or something.
Woof.
It's like the craziest statistic ever. But I think that'll be a big project in this match to see if they can generate some buzz for Shinsuke. But also, John Cena and Triple H will feel like a throwback. Same with him and Angle.
Yeah.
There's just so much in this match that will really be interesting to see what the fan response is. I mean, it's clear they loaded this with star power just to kind of gauge some reactions. And we'll get to see who turns on who in the match. I think part of the reason I think SmackDown may win this is just with the way that Raw ended with Kane and Strowman. I have a feeling that was to set up some way to get him out of this match. And once Strowman's gone, I think it's a wide open field.
Yeah, I I'm very curious now to see who wins this. I'm leaning, currently leaning towards the SmackDown men, I think, mostly because I've got Brock winning the Brock and AJ match. And I think this is another situation where they're going to try and keep it sort of even. But I'm not completely sold on that. I am not absolutely like, oh, it's the SmackDown men for sure. I think we could get the Raw men easily and just Brock still wins the Brock and AJ match and it's fine because SmackDown maybe wins the tag match and something else. This is a confusing one for me. It's a really tough one to pick and I kind of just want to sit back and have fun with it. Do you hope that they do some old school promos in the back? Like, not that the teams are going to have names, but that we get to see like the old Survivor Series style promos where it was each guy gets like one or two lines and probably just did a line of coke off of the other guy's back.
I don't even think they make enough coke to recreate some of those promos from Survivor Series in the 80s. But,
well, who isn't wellness tested in this match? Angle, Triple H, Shane McMahon, John Cena, all are not subject to the wellness policy. I kind of doubt Randy Orton is, to be honest. He seems part-time enough to not be in there. So four or five of the 10 people, that's you could do a lot of damage if you're them.
Well, I hope we do see some crazy promos. I don't know. What is that promo going to look like? Like just
green screen.
Triple H leering at Angle the entire time when he's not talking.
And also breathing heavily, just making a small noise each time he breathes, like, oh, game.
That's terrifying, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's very, I'm sorry to everyone that was just listening to that. That's pretty rough.
Well, yeah, I think this one could go either way. I think that's the most interesting thing about it. And I'm happy to not really have a confident answer because that's generally when I'm the most excited to watch these matches.
Yeah, like this is a show, literally, actually, a few minutes ago, my wife was texting me about plans on Sunday night. And I was like, I rarely say this, but I want to watch this wrestling show live. Like this WrestleMania, the Rumble, it's in that category with me. And I didn't expect Survivor Series to get there. And this feels, it feels like a Big Four show. And that's something that Survivor Series has been missing. Jake, 1 to 10 scale. How excited are you for this one?
I'm at a 9. I may be at a 10 by the time we get to Sunday. I'm really looking forward to this show.
I'm legit at a 10 for this. I think it is going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. Like, this weekend of wrestling, I'm just like, yeah, let's do this. This is going to be really fun. And it's great to not have, like, the Dolph Ziggler match or the Jinder Mahal match. Those things that kind of give me dread about watching some wrestling. Like, I don't have to sit through Dolph and Bobby Roode again, because that's not going to go well. It's like, oh, great. This is all just like pure fun, put it in my veins style wrestling. And I'm psyched about that. So, Jake, final question. What's making you happy in wrestling this week?
Honestly, I think what made me the happiest in watching wrestling this week was just listening to people go crazy for AJ Styles on Tuesday SmackDown, and then that awesome promo that he and Daniel Bryan cut together. That made me it was such a great fire back towards Paul Heyman that it was one of the few times in recent memory where I think the return promo on Heyman might have been better than the original.
For me, it is that Daniel Bryan promo as well. I get so excited when Daniel Bryan, like, you almost see it happen. Like, suddenly there's fire in his eyes, and it's like, whoa, oh, he's still got this. He can still do it. And we saw it a little bit with the stuff with Miz, but it was so overshadowed by how great Miz was on Talking Smack. And now to see it on SmackDown, Bryan getting to go out there and deliver the promo he probably always wanted to give to Brock Lesnar, because that was such a major match that he wanted to have and never got to have. And it hurt a little bit, but it hurt in the good way where I'm like, this sucks, but man, Daniel Bryan's great. And I'm happy about that at least. And he's still great and still wonderful. So I will agree on the Bryan and AJ promo, especially the Daniel Bryan part of it on SmackDown. Yeah, I think that'll wrap it up for us. People who aren't .NET members, you can hear Jake talk about Survivor Series as a .NET member. Like, get some of that and listen to Jake talk about it with Jason on Sunday night. I will be on .NET Live with Jason on Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, and whatever that means for the rest of you, I don't know. But listen to Jason and I call in, talk with us. That should be really fun. Jake, anything else to add before we close this out?
I think we covered everything, man. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.